We are beginning on Yudbeis Amud Beis with the first Mishnah on the page, which is 14 lines from the bottom. And the Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, which had ended up with discussing various of the halachas pertaining to the Kohen Gadol. But the Mishnah now elaborates and says, Kohen Gadol poirin milamata. We have said that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to rip his clothing. When a relative dies, he is not allowed to perform the mitzvah of Kriya, but however, he is allowed to be poirin milamata. At the bottom of his clothing, he can rip it. And the Gemara will discuss where exactly the Lamata is referring to. Vahedyot and a regular Kohen, Milamaila, he can rip his clothing on top, the way a regular person performs the mitzvah of Kriya when a relative dies. The Mishnah continues, another halacha pertaining to the Kohen Gadol is that a Kohen Gadol is makriv oinim. Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the avodah of the Beis Hamikdash even while being an oinim. That's the first day in which a relative dies. V'loyoichel, however, he's not allowed to eat kachin. V'ahedyoy, and a regular kohen, loy makriv v'loyoichel, can neither do the avodah nor can he eat from the korbanos. He has an issur to do any of the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash while he's an oinim. Gemara begins and analyzes what did it mean, Kohen Gadol Poirin Milamato. Omer Rav, Lamato means Lamato Mamish, all the way on the bottom of the garment, by the end of the beged, over there he can rip his clothes. Lamaila, and when it talked about that a Kohen Hedjot is allowed to be Purim Lamaila, that's Lamaila Mamish, that's all the way on the top of the clothes, next to the collar, where the opening of the neck is, and over there is where the regular person performs the mitzvah of Kriya. So Kohen Hedjot can do it over there. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel, however, disagrees, and Shmuel says, Lamato, when the Mishnah says that a Kohen Gadol has to rip his clothing only Lamato, Lamato means Mikame Sofa. It doesn't mean all the way on the bottom. But all it means is below the stitching that finishes the garment, but it's on the top, but it's the tier starts below the edge. And that's where the Kohen Gadol was allowed to do the Kriya, as long as he doesn't start all the way from the top and go through the stitching that finishes it, but starts below that stitching, that's mutter. L'mayla, what is the Kohen Hedjot allowed to do? L'mayla mikami sofa. He's allowed to go all the way on the top and start the tier through the stitching that finishes the beged. V'zeh v'zeh v'tzavar, but both of them are near the neck. Meisei has on this, the Gemara has a kasha. It's said in a braisa, kol ha-meisim kulon rotsa mavdil kami sofa shaloi. When a person has to rip his clothing on any other relative besides his parents, so then he has the option. Rotsa mavdil kami sofa shaloi. If he wants, he can start the tier all the way on top, even through the stitching that finishes the beged, or rotsa eino mavdil kami sofa shaloi. But if he wishes, he does not have to rip it through, make a clean rip from the top, he can start below that. Alavi valimoi mavdil. But when a father and a mother, a person must perform the mitzvah of Kriya, ripping it from the outside of the beged, from the top of the beged, clean through, and the Mefarshim explained, because then it's more clearly recognizable that it's split in half at that point, the beged, and that's the type of Kriya that a person has to do for his parents. And the mother is asking a kasha and Shmuel, Kivan de Ba'al Mahavikra, because since we do find that at least by other relatives, a person can perform the mitzvah of Kriya, even though he doesn't start from the top and starts below the edge, that's still considered a performance of Kriya, the Kari Kan, the God of Yifraim. So we should apply the pasuk that says that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to rip his clothing, anything which is considered a Kriya should go under that pasuk. So how can Shmuel say that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to be Poirin, even though it's only Lamata from the top edge? So the Gemara answers, Shmuel Krav Yehuda Sirle. Shmuel holds like Rav Yehuda. The Omar Kol Krash Einoi Mavdul Sofa Shaloi, that any ripping of a clothing which does not separate the top stitching and does not go straight through from the top, Einoi Ela Krash El Tifl, it's an unnecessary krah, which means it does not perform the mitzvah of Kriya. So therefore, since Rav Yehuda holds that by every relative, the only type of Kriya that can be performed is one that goes through from the top, therefore, according to Yehuda, a Kohen Gadol would be allowed to be poirin as long as he doesn't start through the top stitching and starts below the edge. That would be mutter by a Kohen Gadol. However, the Gemara asks, Umi Islay v'Rabbi Yehuda Kriya b'Kohen Gadol? Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a Kohen Gadol could do any Kriya at all? If Shmuel is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, we will see that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to rip his clothing at all. Because V'atanya, we learned in a braisa, Ehu Nehemiah would have said in the pasuk concerning the Kohen Gadol Roish Lo Yifra, would have only said Reish without identifying whose head we're talking about, or Beged lo Yifraim, whose garment we're talking about. Hayisi Aimer, I would have explained the pasuk. The Reish u Beged shal Saita hakasa medaber. It's talking about the procedure of the Saita. We know that a woman who is accused of committing adultery, she must come to the Azara, must go through the whole process of drinking the Mehamarim. Part of the process of the Saita is that the Torah says, Uparaz Reisha, that the Kayin stands in the Azara and the Kayin lets her hair down. She uncovers her hair, and also it says in the Pasuk that the Kayin rips her clothing. So I would have thought that these Pesukim, talking about the Kayin Gadol, is only coming to say, Reish lo Yifra, that the Kayin Gadol should not do that action. That action of undoing the Saita's hair, or that action of ripping the Saita's clothing, that should not be done by the Kohen Gadol, but rather by the Kohen Eged. And it's not talking about the head or the garment of the Kohen Gadol himself at all. Talmud Leimar said, therefore the Torah said, Es Roishoi Lo Yifra, that the Torah is talking about doing it to himself. And we define the Pasuk Roishoi Lo Yifra means he's not allowed to let his own hair grow as a result of the Simon of mourning. Ubigodov Lo Yifraim, and he cannot rip his own clothing as a Simon of Aveilus. That a Kohen Gadol is totally excluded from any ripping of the clothing and any letting of his hair grow. Rabbi Shmuel Leimar, Rabbi Shmuel holds that the prohibition of the Kohen Gadol is that he's only not allowed to rip his clothing in the regular way. Elohu milamasa, he has to rip it on the bottom. Vahedjit milamayva, and a hedjit on top. Akoponim, what do we see? We see that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to rip his clothing at all. So how can you say Shmuel that says that lamata means below the top stitching, hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to rip his clothing even in an unusual way? So the Gemara answers Shmuel sovel Rabbi Yehuda b'chada. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one halacha upolugalei b'chada, but he is not passing like Rabbi Yehuda in the other halacha. Concerning the shayla of where a person must perform the mitzvah of kriya, where he must rip his clothing, even concerning other relatives, so there he holds like a Yehuda that every kriya must start from the top, and therefore concerning a kohen gadol, he holds that a kohen gadol is allowed to rip his clothing as long as he starts below the top, because there is no kriya that is ever kosher if it starts below the top. However, concerning the shayla of where a kohen gadol is allowed to perform kriya, that he doesn't hold like a Yehuda, that he holds like a Bishmuel. That if Bishmuel holds as long as the Kohen Gadol does it in an unusual fashion, it's permissible. So in that machlokes, is he passes like a Bishmuel? And therefore, Shmuel explains our Mishnah that says Lamata, he explains that it means Lamata as long as it's below the top edge, that is permissible for a Kohen Gadol. Continue now with the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-todim e-chaveroi, whichever is more frequent than something else, kaidim is chaveroi. It takes precedence over the other thing. That means if you have two mitzvahs that have to be performed, and they come together, the priority is given to the one that is more frequent. For example, if on Rosh Chodesh that comes out on Shabbos, and we have two karbanas to be brought, the musaf of Shabbos and the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, so the halacha is that the musaf of Shabbos goes first, because since Shabbos is tadir relative to Rosh Chodesh, so therefore the Musaf of Shabbos takes precedence. Continues the Mishnah, the Chol Hamid Kudish Mechaveroi Kaidim is Chaveroi, and whatever is more holy than something else, Kaidim, it takes precedence. The third din in the Mishnah is Par HaMashiach Kaidim Leparo Eidah B'chol Maso. There would be a case where both the Kohen Gadol had to bring a Par. He had done Ein Aver B'shoigeg, and also the Eid or the Tzibur had to bring a par. They had done an Aver B'Shoigig based on a Psak of Bezdin, and both Korbanot had to be brought. So the par HaMashiach is brought before the par Eidah, and the Tosfos Rosh speaks out that this is not based on either of the two rules that I mentioned previously in the Mishnah. Rather, we will see in the Gemara that this is learned out of a Pasuk. Gemara now says, how do we know the first rule of Kol HaTodim Echaderi Kodim Echaderi? It says the pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, and this pasuk was written concerning the korban musaf that had to be brought on Pesach, the additional korbanos of Yom Tov. And the Torah tells us that this korban was brought after the daily korban, the korban tamid, which is brought every day. And the pasuk says, "Milvad oilas haboiker asher lo oilas ha-tamid." It is after the day we oila, which is brought in the morning. But the Mori Atakasha Michti Ksiv Oila Tabaika. The Torah already identifies that it comes after the oila, it could say Muvar Oila Tabaika. Oila Tatomid Lomali. Why does the pasuk need to add the last three words Asher Loila Tatomid? The Hachi Kamarachmono, that the Torah wants to identify and teach you a rule that Kol HaTadira Kodema, that whichever is Tomit, whichever is more prevalent, more usual, that takes precedence. And that we learn out a rule, the Kol HaTadira Kula, that Kol HaTadim Echaderoi, that goes first. The Kol HaMakudish Mechaderoi, who calls him Echaderoi, and whichever has more Kedusha goes first, Minolon, the Tonit Verabi Shmuel, we learned in the Pasuk, concerning the way a person is supposed to act with the Kayin, it says Viki Dashta, you should sanctify the Kayin. And we learn out that means the Chol Dover should be Kedusha. Anything of Kedusha, the Kayin goes first, which means with Tayach Rishon, that the Kayin gets the first Aliyah, Ulevarech Rishon, and the Kayin also goes first when it comes to Zimun, when it comes to leading by Birchat Amazon, the Litel Mana Yafer Rishon, and he also gets a first portion. It means that Yisrael should serve the Kayin first when sitting with a group of people at a Suhuda. Since the Torah taught us that a Kayin goes first, with the word Vikidashtai, that teaches us that's because of his extra Kedusha, that's the reason that we give him this importance. And therefore, we learn out to call out Torah Kula, that when anything has more Kedusha than something else, it goes first. Rashi explained with Tayach Rishon means that he gets the first Aliyah. Other Rishonim offer a different interpretation, and they say with Tayach Rishon means that he is the first to darshan when people gather together and someone has to get up and make a speech. The first one that darshans in front of the tzibur is the kohen. The Magen Avraham brings that Tosfos and Chulin says that this halacha b'kidashtoi is only the rabbanon, and the pasuk is osmas smachta. The Magen Avraham asks in the beginning of Simin Reish Aleph that from the Gemara in Gittin it's mafurish that it's a din min haTorah, and the din b'kidashtoi is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Then the Magen Avraham goes on to ask that especially now that we understand that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so why do we see that people are not noyeg to see to it that the kohen goes first? Why are people lenient in this halacha b'kidashtoi? So the Magen Avraham writes, as a searching for a schus to explain why people are not nizer in this, he says perhaps it's based on because we are not certain about the yichus of various kohanim, and therefore the kidashtoi fell to the wayside. However, the Mishnah Berurah and Simin Reish Aleph, his language when he brings the Magen Avraham is, look at the Magen Avraham that's mitzadei limtzai ktsas tam l'minik. The Magen Avraham tries to find somewhat of a justification. He writes, shelechatchilo v'vadei yesh li zor v'zeh. A person should lechatchilo be careful about sanctifying the kohen and be mekayim this mitzvah v'kidashtei. More at the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph goes on the last halacha of the Mishnah that it said par kohen mishuach upar eidah, that if you have the par which has to be brought by a kohen gadol to his aver b'shoyge, and the par which has to be brought for all of Klal Yisrael, the par of the kohen goes first. We know immediately. How do we know this? It's on a rabban. We learned in a brisa. It says in the pasuk by the par helum davishol tibur the sorav oisa, you should burn the par kasher sorav as a par arishon. Now we have two parshiyos. First, the Torah discusses the par kohen mashiach, the par which is brought by the kohen gadol, and halacha is that you have to burn the par. And then right after that, the Torah discusses the par helum davishol tzibur, which is brought by the entire community if they did an avera. And the Torah says, "Va'asol the par kasha also the par achatos." You should do to the second par like you did to the first par. And there we know, learn that all the halachas apply. And then the Torah repeated a pasuk, and it said, "The soras oisoi kasha soras as a par rishon." You should burn the par helum davishol tzibur like you burned the first part. The Ma'at Talmud Loimar. Why does the Torah need to write this pasuk? What is it here? The Gemara says, HaRishon, to tell you, Shehei Rishon Koidim L'Para Eidu B'chol Ma'asov, that the first par mentioned in the Torah, the par of the Kohen Mashiach, takes precedence in all the Avodos over the par helum davishol tzibur. And if both of them came together, the par of the Kohen goes first. So this is the source of the din in the Mishnah. That's the way this Braisa learns it out. Tana Rabbana. We learned in a Braisa another way of understanding this halacha, because it says, Par Kohen Mashiach u'par ha'edo oindim. If you have standing in front of you the Par Kohen Mashiach and the Par ha'edo, the Par Kohen Mashiach koidim l'par ha'edo b'chol ma'asov. The Par Kohen Mashiach goes first. Why? Hoyul u'mashiach mechaper. Because the Kohen Gadol is the one who brings kapara to other people. The Edom is kaperes, and the Edo is the one receiving kapara. So, dinu sheyaktim hamechaper v'miskaper. The din is that the one that brings kapara to others should first get his own kapara, and his korban should go before the miskaper, before the tzibur that's receiving the kapara. The Cheinu Oimer, and the Gemara says we find a similar halacha by Yom Kippur, because there it says, the chiper ba'adayu ba'ad beisayu ba'ad kol kal Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol brought a kapara first for himself, then for the other Kohanim, and then for the rest of Klal Yisrael. His kapara went first. Why? Because he's the mechaper. The others are receiving kapara from him, so therefore the mechaper has to get a kapara before the others. Now we understand this by Yom Kippur, because by Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was the one who did the avodah on Yom Kippur. The karbonis had to be done by him. He was the one that would be doing the karbonis and be doing the kapara for the Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it's as far as to say that he has to get his own kapara personally, and then he can be roy to bring a kapara for the rest of Klal Yisrael. But what about by the Mashiach and by the Para Eda? How does it apply over there? So the Rambam in his Perish HaMishnah learns that the par helam dovish al tzibur must be done by the Kohen Gadol. Just like the halachas and Yom Kippur, that a Kohen Gadol has to do all the avodah, the par helam dovish al tzibur must be done only by the Kohen Gadol himself. And therefore it makes very good sense, because we have over here the par which must bring a kapara to the Kohen Gadol, and we have the par which is going to bring a kapara to all Klal Yisrael. And that second par can only be done, the avodah, by the Kohen Gadol himself. So he is the mechaper. So therefore, it's a svara that if the mechaper himself needs a kapara, first he has to take care of his own kapara, and then he'll be roy to bring a kapara to the rest of Klal Yisrael. However, this halacha in the Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam, that the Kohen Gadol is the one that does the avodah on the par helam dovish al tzibur, is a chiddush. And the Rambam himself, in his Yad HaZokah, does not even bring it to halacha. And many of the Mefarshim question and disagree with that Rambam's assertion, and hold that the Parhelam Dovish Ol Tzibur can be done by any Kohen. So therefore, what's pshat in the Gemara that the Kohen Gadol is the Mechaper, and therefore he has to go first? So the Me'iri learns differently, and Me'iri learns that since we find that the Kohen Gadol, for example, in Yom Kippur, is the only one that can do the Kapara, so he has a status that he's a mechaper for others. So that halacha, that he's a mechaper for others, gives the Kohen Gadol more kedusha. And therefore, since he's more kodesh than everybody else, therefore his power goes first. And according to the Me'iri, this third halacha in the Mishnah is actually an extension of the second. Once the second halacha says that kol hakodesh mechaveroi goes first, so therefore the Kohen Gadol, by virtue of the fact that he's a mechaper, that gives him a higher level of kedusha, and therefore his korban goes first. Continues the Gemara, par helam dovish al tzibur kodem lepar shel avodes kachovim. That if you have in front of you two karbonets, the one, the par that has to be brought by the tzibur for an aveira b'shoigeg, and also you have the par which the tzibur has to bring if they did avodes zarah b'shoigeg. The halacha is that when tzibur does avodes zarah b'shoigeg, which was based on an erroneous tzak of bezin, they have to bring a par of the soyer. So that par is in front of you. The par of the helam dovish al tzibur goes first. My taimo, hay chatos v'hay oilo, because the one that's brought to the tzibur, that par, is a korban chatos. The par that's brought on avodah zarah for the tzibur, that's an oilo. It's a par and a soyer. The par is an oilo, and the soyer was brought for the chatos. And we know that a chatos always comes before an oilo, because the tanya we learned in the braisa says in the pasuk v'hikir v'tashar v'chatos rishono, talking about the korban oil of the yoreit. The end of Pashas Vayikra, there are various averes where a person brings a type of korban subject to his economic level, and if a person can afford it, he brings a chatos. But if he can't, it says he brings a pair of birds. One is brought as an oira, and one is brought as a chatos. So it says in the pasuk, the hikrid eisa shel chatos rishona, that the chatos go first. Ma Talmud Loimer, why did the Torah have to write that? Im lulame chetehe chatos rishona, was it coming to teach you that the chatos goes before the oira? It says explicitly in the pasuk that the second one is brought as the oila. So we know already that the oila comes second. Why did the Torah have to write the word rishona? Ela zeh bonahav. This is a limud to kol haTorah kula.
Sheyu kol chatois koit mois lo oivois habois imoihen. That all chatois come before, take precedence over any oivois that's brought at the same time, the chatos comes first. That's what the Torah was teaching you with writing the word Rishayna. The Kaimulon, and we hold that filu chatos ois, even if it's the chatos, it's a bird. Koidemez lo oivois behemo. If you have a chatos ois coming at the same time as an oivois behemo, the chatos ois takes precedence. So therefore, what's Negea to us is if you have the par helam dovishal tibur and you have the par of the avodas kechavim, since the par of the avodas kechavim is an oila and the par helam dover is the chatos calls before the oila. What brings another halacha? Par avodas kechavim koydim usoyer avodas kechavim. You have a case where the tibur did an avodasar b'shoygeg and they have to bring a par v'soyer, so the par comes before the soyer. And this the Gemara asks Amai. Hai chatos v'hai oila. The soyer is the chatos. The par is the oila. We just learned that the chatos takes precedence over the oila. So the soyer should come before the par. So Amri v'mar Rav Mishnei, the Rav Bamori. So in Eretz Yisrael they said the teret in the name of Rav Bamori. Chatos avoides kechodim chaseira alof. The chatos ksir. When it talks about these korbanot that the tzibur brings, so the word chatos in the Torah is written without an aleph. It's written lamit ches tetzah. Memeila, this teaches you that what's the missing aleph coming to tell you? That here's an exception to the rule. Even though normally a chatos comes first, but this chatos comes second. Rava amar kemishpat ksivde. Rava says, when the Torah discusses the oila, the par that's brought in this par of Eretz Kechavim, it says the word kemishpat. What does kemishpat mean? Kemishpat, as it is written in the Torah. And since in the Torah, the par is written before the soyer, so even though the par is the oila, but the Torah was megala with the word kemishpat, that you have to bring them the way they're written, and therefore the par comes before the soyer. Soyer avodas kechavim koidim usoyer nasi. If you have the tzibur that has to bring a carbon, so they have to bring a par of the soyer. And you have their soyer standing here, and you also have the soyer, which is brought by a nasi. When a melech doesn't have very b'shoigek, he has to bring a soyer. Which one goes first? The Gemara says, the soyer of Eretz Kechavim goes first. My time more high tzibur v'hayochit. Since the soyer of Eretz Kechavim is being brought by the tzibur, the soyer of the nasi is only coming for an individual, so the carbon of the community takes precedence over the carbon of the yochit. Soyer nasi koidem l'si'irat yochit. The soyer of a nasi comes before the si'irat yochid. If a yochid was over avidazor b'shoigeg, he has to bring a si'ira. We have the soyer of the melech and the si'ira of the yochid. The soyer of the melech goes first, my time, or high melech v'high hedyai. This carbon, which is brought by the melech, takes precedence over a carbon brought by a regular person of Klal Yisrael. Si'irat yochid koidemes l'kivsat yochid. The halacha is that when a person is over an adeira b'shoigek, he brings either a seira or a kivsa. One person is bringing a seira and one person is bringing a kivsa. The seira goes before the kivsa. I, Watanya, will learn in a braisa, kivsa as yochid, koidemus was seira as yochid. A braisa said that the sheep, the male sheep, goes before the goat. So, omarabaya tanoihi. It's a machoikas tanoihim. Mar sova seira adifa. One man said that it's the female goat that takes precedence. Because since we find that when an individual does an avodah zarah b'shoigeg, he has to bring only a seira, unlike a regular avodah b'shoigeg where a person has an option to bring either a seira or a kizba, here he has to bring only a seira. So we find that a seira has an importance because it is the only carbon that's brought for avodah zarah. So therefore, the seira always goes before the kivsa. Umar sovar kivsa adifa. And the other braisa holds that the sheep is more important, it goes first. Shekein in the Sramsa Ba'alya. Because the Torah gives us a halacha that the tail of the sheep is brought on the Mizbeach, unlike the tail of the goat that's not brought. So since there's another part of the animal that the Torah said is brought as part of the korban, so that gives a chashivus to the sheep over the goat, and therefore the kivsa comes before the seira. Oymer koidim lakedes haboimoy. On the second day of Pesach, the korban omer, which was made from barley, was brought, and also a keves was brought with it. So the omer, that mincha, goes before the keves. And so too concerning the shtei halechem. That's the korban which is brought on Shavuot. It's made from wheat. is Kaidim and Likvasim. Haboyim imoyim. They go before the sheep that are brought together with the Shtei Alechem. Zehachlal. The Gemara says there's a rule that covers both of these cases. Dover habo begin liyoyim. Something which is brought as the special carbon of the day. The Omer is brought as the special carbon for the 16th day of Nisan. The Shtei Alechem is brought because of the Yom of Shavuos. So Dover Habo begin liyoyim is Kaidim LeDover Habo begin lechem. It comes before that which is only brought to accompany the Mincha. The Kvasim are only coming as Tzeilim to the Mincha. So therefore the Mincha, the Lechem, which means the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, they take precedence, they come first.
Continue now with the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ish kodim leisha, a man takes precedence over a woman lahachiyos in matters pertaining to life and death. Which, for example, if a man and woman were drowning and there was a question of which one to save, he could only save one of them. So the halacha is that you must save the man before the woman. And so to lahashivadeza, there was a question of a lost item belonging to a man and one belonging to a woman." And a person could only return one of them, and the question was which one to return, that a Mishnah says that the man's lost item takes precedence over the woman. The reason that the man takes precedence over the woman, said a Rambam in the parish of the Mishnah explains, because since a man is mechuyev in all mitzvahs in the Torah, while a woman is petura from mitzvahs atzei shezman groma, any mitzvah that's time-bound, a woman is exempt from those mitzvahs, so a man has the maila over a woman that he's mechuyev in more mitzvahs. And the Rambam explained that this is actually a continuation of the klal of the previous Mishnah, that the Mishnah had said, Kol ha-mekudesh mechaveroi, whichever one has more holiness takes precedence. So a man, by virtue of the fact that he's mechuyev in all mitzvahs, comes before a woman. However, the Mishnah says, Va'isha kodemes la'ish liksus, but when it comes to matters of clothing, question is whom to give clothing, if a woman needs clothing and a man needs clothing, so the woman goes first, because a lack of clothing is considered more humiliating to a woman than to a man. So therefore, her clothing has priority. And so too, to release her from captivity. If a man and woman are in captivity, and the question is that we can only ransom one of them, so the woman is ransomed first. Why? And the reason is, because since a woman in captivity is subject to being attacked and being forced to have znus with her captors, so therefore she has to be ransomed first. But the Mishnah says, "Bizman sheshneim oyim lekalkala." But if both of them, both the man and the woman, are omei lekalkala, are likely to be attacked and be forced into acts of znus, the man for mishkav zachar, so then the ish is kodim leisha. The man comes before the woman, and the Mefarshim bring the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi says, because since mishkav zachar is something which is unnatural for a man, so if the man will be forced into mishkav zachar, he'll be forced to do something kineged his teva. So therefore, his rescue comes first. Marta Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Ha Yohu Ve'ozi V'Rabbi. The person himself and his father and his Rebbe, B'Shevi, they were all in captivity. Hu Kaidim L'Rabbi. So a person himself comes first, and he ransoms himself even before his Rebbe. V'Rabbi Kaidim L'Oziv. And then if there's a chance of to be ransomed one more person, his Rebbe then comes before his father. Imoi Kaidemet L'Kulam. But his mother takes precedence over all of them, even the person himself. He has to be told to his mother first. Now the reason he goes first, Hu Kaidim L'Rabbi, the Rebbe Sheva offers two reasons. Number one, it can be based on the rule that we don't have the pasuk V'Cheyochicha Ima Chayecho Kaidim, that a person's own life always comes first, and therefore he's mechuyev to be paid himself first. Or the Rebbe Sheva says it's a svara, because if he'll be paid to himself, then he'll be able to learn Torah, do mitzvahs. Masha Inkin, if he's poised his Rebbe, he'll remain the Beis Asurim, will remain in captivity, and he'll be unable to do Torah and mitzvahs. Therefore, it's a svara that his redemption comes first. Next, the Braita said, comes Rabbi Koidim Lovitz, and that's based on the rule that the Gemara B'Metzia formulates, because since his Rebbe taught him Torah, so his Rebbe brings him to Olam Haba, his father only brought him into this world, into Olam Hazeh, so therefore, the Rebbe comes first. Imoi kodemes v'kulam, the mother takes precedence over them all. The Be'er Sheva explains, because to take a woman out of captivity, we're afraid that while she's there, they'll force her to do Isurim. So her redemption takes precedence over them all. The Shach, in Simen Reish Nun Beis, Sifkot and Tes, says that it's mashma from the Be'er Sheva that we're talking about that in this captivity, there is no danger of life to any of them. and therefore the mother can come first. However, if there would be a takonis nefasha, so then his redemption, because of the rule of chayechu koidmin, he would be paid to himself first. Continues the braisa, chacham koidim lemelech Yisrael. A chacham, a person who is knowledgeable in Torah. So if it's a question of being paid to the chacham and lemelech Yisrael, the chacham takes precedence. Why? Because chacham shemeis, when a chacham dies, ain't like a yaitzibai. We cannot replace a chacham. A melech Yisrael shemeis. But if you have a melech Yisrael who dies, kol Yisrael u'yim lemalchus. Anybody is kosher, anybody could become a melech. And therefore, a chacham is so much more valuable, he's irreplaceable, that his redemption takes precedence over a melech. Continuing in the line of precedence, melech koidim u'koin gadol. A melech, a king, comes before a koin gadol. Shenemar, this we learn out of the pasuk. When David HaMelech gave instructions about anointing his son Shlomo, so he was talking to Tzadok, who was the Kohen Gadol. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer HaMelech Lohem, Kichu Imochem Es Avdi Adonechem, take with you the servant of your master, referring to his own, David's own servant, and he called himself Adonechem, your master, talking to the Kohen Gadol. So you see that the Melech is considered the master over the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Koidim U'Novi. And we talk about a Kohen Gadol and a Novi, the Kohen Gadol comes first. Because it says over there also concerning the anointing of Shlomo HaMelech, so they went to the Moishechim. It says, Umoshach Oisoi Shom Tzadik HaKoyin V'Nosan HaNovi. So the Pasuk says, he puts Tzadik HaKoyin before Nosan. So we see that Hittim Tzadik V'Nosan, teaching you that the Kohen Gadol comes before the Novi. V'Oimer another Raya, that a Kohen Gadol comes before the Novi. Because it says in the Pasuk in Zechariah, Shema No Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Listen, Yeshua, the Kohen Gadol, you and your friends. Who are the friends of the Kohen Gadol that's referred to in that pasuk? Yochel had yoitis, or you were talking about plain people, Talmud Loimar, ki anshei moifis heima. Because those reyim are anshei moifis. Who are anshei moifis? A moifis or a novi. Moifis refers to a person who's a novi, shenema, because it says a pasuk in Chumash, v'nosan eilecho oisa moifis. So a novi does a wondrous sign. So it's referring to Nevi'im. So we see that Kohen Gadol Yeshua had with him friends that are Nevi'im, and the Pasuk put before the Reim, it put Yeshua, the Kohen Gadol. So we see that the Kohen Gadol takes precedence over the Novi. Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcho koidim l'merube b'godim. We have a choice of two Kohanim Gedolim. A Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcho, someone who was anointed, or someone who was only appointed through the wearing of the Big Day Kohuna. So the Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcho takes precedence. The reason? The Rosh says, he brings from the Gemara Nazir, because since we find the unique halacha by the Meshuach Meshemen HaMishcha, that he brings a par habala kol mitzvah, Masha Enkin the Merubah begodim brings a chatzos like everybody else, so that shows that the Meshuach with Shemen HaMishcha is on a higher level than the Merubah begodim. Merubah begodim koidim l'meshuach she'over machmas kiryoy. A Merubah begodim, he is an active Kohen Gadol, takes precedence over a Meshuach, even though he was a Kohen Gadol that was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, but it was over, he was removed from office, Machmas Kiryoy. So therefore, the Merubah Begodim comes first. But a Meshuach, she'over Machmas Kiryoy, but if he was only removed because he became a Balkeri, he goes before Koidim lo'over Machmas Mumoy. Why? Because the over Machmas Kiryoy, he will eventually become Tahar, he will go back to his office. But the Machmas Mumoy, if he got a Mum, and he was removed from office, so he's not destined to go back. So therefore, the Machmas Kiryoy goes before the Over Machmas Mumoy. Over Machmas Mumoy, a Kohen Gadol who was taken away from office because he got a Mum, is Koidim U'Meshuach Mulchama. Because he's a Kohen Gadol, and a Kohen Gadol was before Meshuach Mulchama. That's the Kohen that's anointed specifically to lead the Am into the war, but he's not on the same level as a Kohen Gadol. Meshuach Mulchama, Koidim Uzgan. The Meshuach Mulchama takes precedence over the Skan, that's the assistant Kohen Gadol. Skan koidim la Marchol, and the Skan goes before the Marchol. The Marchol is the one who directs the activities of the Kohanim. Maya Marchol, what does the word mean? Amar Chisto, it comes from two words, Amar Kulo, he gives all the directions. Amarchol koidim la Gizbar, Amarchol comes before the one who is the treasurer of Hetish. Gizbar koidim la Roish Mishmar. The treasurer comes before the one who's the head of the mishmar. The Kohanim were divided up into 24 mishmarim, each mishmar serving for 1 week's avoid in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Rosh of that mishmar So in the order between a Gizbar and a Reish Mishma, the Gizbar comes first. Reish Mishma, however, Kaidim L'Reish Beisav. Every Mishma was divided up into subcategories, into different base, but the Avodah, different families. Each day of the week, a different base Av did the Avodah. The Reish Mishma, the head of the entire Mishma, comes before the one who's the head of the base Av. Reish Beis Av, Kaidim L'Kayin Hedges. And the head of the base Av is before each individual Kayin Hedges. Boiluhus, the Gemara has a shaila, the Inyan Tuma, will be a shaila of making themselves tumah. Two Kohanim were walking along, and they encountered a Meis Mitzvah. They encountered a dead body in the street, and there's nobody around to take care to bury that person. So the question is, which one should make himself tumah? The Sgan or the Meshuach Muhammad? The assistant Kohen Gadol or this Meshuach Muhammad? Ezerim Kohen. Who has the precedence? Who takes precedence to walk away? And the other one has to make himself tomek. The Omer Marzut Shabed Rav Nachman Tashma we learned in the Braisa. The Tanya Seganu Meshuach Muhammad Shahi Mahalchim Bederech. The Skan and the Meshuach Muhammad were walking in the way. Pog Abraham Eis Mitzvah and they encountered a dead body in the street with no one to take care of it. Mutav Shiyatami Meshuach Muhammad. It's better that the Meshuach Muhammad should make himself tomek and take this body to be buried, while Yitame is gone, and the Skan should not make himself tomek. Why? Why is the Skan more important? Shinyera by Psul the Kohen Gadol, because the purpose of the Skan was that if the Kohen Gadol would become possible, the Skan would be there ready to take over. So since the Skan has the potential of being the Kohen Gadol, so he goes before the Meshuach Muhammad. Meshuach Muhammad is lower than the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, the Skan walks away, and the Meshuach Muhammad makes himself tumah. But the Gemara asks, Vatanya, we just learned in the Braisa that the Gemara had brought earlier, that Meshuach Muhammad kaidim Skan, that the Meshuach Muhammad takes precedence over the Skan. So why is it that the Skan is able to walk away? Perhaps the Meshuach Muhammad should walk away and let the Skan become tumah. Omer Avino, ki tanya ahilach yoifer. That Braisa was talking about keeping them alive. It's a question of whom to save, or it's a question of whom to release from captivity. So the Meshuach Muhammad comes first. Why? As Rashi explains, because the Meshuach Muhammad is more needed right now by the Tzibur, because in case they have to go to war, so he's needed to lead them into battle. However, over here we are talking about who becomes Tomei and who does not become Tomei. It says that since the Skan has the potential of becoming the Kohen Gadol, so therefore he, as far as this is concerned, is on a higher level than the Meshuach Muhammad. Meshuach Muhammad is the one that makes himself Tomei. The Mishnah continues with giving us a list of orders of priority. And the Mishnah says, Kohen Kohen Levi. A Kohen goes before Levi. A person would have a limited amount of tzedakah, and the question is whom to give it to. Or if both of them would be in captivity, and I can only ransom one of them, so the Kohen is taken out before the Levi. A Levi goes before Yisrael. A Yisrael goes before a Mamzer. A Mamzer is someone who was born from a marriage that was forbidden and carries with it a punishment of Koreis, that a child that's born is a Mamzer and he is not allowed to marry a regular Jew, so a Yisrael comes before him. A Mamzer comes before a Nosin. A Nosin is a descendant of the Givonim. The Givonim were a nation. Actually, they were from the seven nations of those living in Eretz Yisrael. And they came in the times of Yeshua, and they deceived Yeshua into allowing them to convert. And Yeshua decreed against them that they and all their descendants would be forbidden to marry into Klal Yisrael. So a Mamzer comes before a Nosin, because at least a Mamzer descends from full-fledged Jews, while a Nosin descends from Gerim. Either his parents were Magayir, or his ancestors were Magayir. So therefore, a Mamzer comes before a Nosin. A Nosin comes before a Ger. A Nosin comes before someone who was Megayah right now, because he was born a non-Jew, while this Nosin was born a Jew, so the Nosin takes precedence. Ger le'Evin Meshuchar, a Ger takes precedence over an Evin Meshuchar. An Evin Meshuchar is a non-Jewish slave that had belonged to a Jew, and then he was freed by his master, and the Torah tells us that the Shichur of that Evid elevates him to the status of a Yid. However, a Ger comes first, and the moral will explain, because an Evin Meshuchar is considered cursed. We'll discuss it in the Gemara, and therefore a Ger comes first. But the Mishnah says, Amosai, when does this list hold true? Bizman Shekulim Shavim, when they're all equal in terms of the Torah scholarship. So then we have the order, Kohen before Levi, Levi before Yisrael. Avolam Hoya Mamzer Talmud Chacham. But if the Mamzer, he was the Talmud Chacham, and the Kohen Gadol was an Amoret, and the Kohen Gadol was an ignoramus, he was not well versed in Torah scholarship,
Mamzer Talmud Chacham Koidim Koim Godol Amoret. Even a Mamzer, but if he's a Talmud Chacham, he takes precedence over the highest Kedusha, over Koim Godol, who is an Amoret. And the Be'er Sheva speaks out that when the Mishnah talks about Amoret, the Mishnah does not necessarily mean that he has to be totally ignorant. As long as he's less of a Talmud Chacham than the Mamzer, that a Mamzer takes precedence. And the Gemara will derive this from the Pasuk that the knowledge of Torah is the highest of priorities and puts him on top of the entire list. And now the Gemara goes and explains each of those mentioned in the Mishnah. Kayin Kaidim Levi. How do we know a Kayin comes before a Levi? Shenemar, it's a Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that says, B'nei Amram, Aaron and Moshe, Vayibodel Aaron lahakdishay kodesh kedoshim. That the children of Amram was Aaron and Moshe, that's Kehanim and Levim, and from that family, Aaron was separated, and he was sanctified kodesh kedoshim. That teaches us that Aaron, Kehanim, are on a higher level than a Levi. Levi kodim liYisrael, shenemar, this is a pasuk in Chumash, Devarim Yud, says, Ba'esahi, Hivdu Hashem es Shevet HaLevi. At that time, Levi was separated from the rest of Klal Yisrael. Levi was distinguished from all the Yidden. So we see that a Levi comes before Yisrael. Yisrael koidim l'mamzer. A Yisrael goes before a mamzer. Why? Shezeh miyuchus. Because the Yisrael, his yichus is pure. He is permitted to marry whomever he wishes. But vizeh, the mamzer, einoy miyuchus. His yichus was tarnished. He was born from a forbidden marriage, and he cannot marry a regular Jew. So therefore, the Yisrael has a higher level of Kedusha. Mamzer koidim l'nosin. Why? Because zeh bo mitipuk sheira. The mamzer comes from a pure drop. In other words, he was born to Jewish parents. But vizeh, the nosin, is bo mitipuk psula. He descends from non-Jewish parents. Either his parents themselves were Magayir, or if his parents were Jewish, but his ancestors were Magayir, and therefore the mamzer has more Kedusha. Nosin koidim l'ger, the nosin comes before a ger, because zeh godal imonu b'kedusha. The nosin was raised in holiness. In other words, he was born a Jew, the zeh but the ger, someone who was newly converted, like godal imonu b'kedusha. He was not raised as a Jew. He was born a goy and later converted. Therefore, the nosin comes first. Ger koidim le'eved, meshuchra, the ger comes first. Why? Because zeh hoya b'chlal orur, because the eved meshuchra, even though now he's freed, and now he's elevated into Kedushas Yisrael. But when he was an Evet, not only was he not a Jew, but he was Orer, he was cursed. Vizeh, a regular Ger, so he was a Goy that became a Yid. But when he was a Goy, Lahoye B'chlal Orer, that a Ger comes before an Evet. Now what does it mean that an Evet was Orer and the Evet was cursed? The Rashi explains that we find in the Torah that Noach cursed Canaan, his son. But that would only apply to Canaan. In other words, even though we call every Eved, every non-Jewish slave belonging to a Yid, we call him an Eved Kenani, but that's only a general term. Not every Eved, not every non-Jewish slave comes from Canaan. So we only find in the Torah that Canaan was cursed. How do we know that every Eved is cursed? The Rashi goes on to explain, and Rashi says, because since we see that Noach cursed his son, and how did he curse Canaan? He cursed him by decreeing that he would be a slave, he would be an Eved. So if we see that what's the greatest curse, what's the greatest klala when somebody's a slave? So that tells us that every slave is in a status of being cursed, is in a status of having a klala. And therefore, a ger takes precedence over an eved, because an eved was b'chlal or. Amosai b'zman shekulin shavim, the Mishnah had said, that when does this all apply? Only when they're equally talmidei chachamim. But if one is a talmud chacham and one is not, even the mamzer, Talmud Chacham comes before a Kohen Gadol Amoret. Minoan Emili, Amra B'achab Rab Chanina Domakro, we have a Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk in Mishlei is talking about the level of Torah. It says, Yikorehi Mipninim. Torah is more precious even than pearl. But the Gemara dashens the word Pninim to have to do with the word Pnim, meaning inside. And the Gemara dashens, it's referring to Mikohen Gadol, Shin Nichnat Lefnai Lefnim. A Torah is even on a higher level than a Kohen God who goes inside. He goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim when he does his Avodah on Yom Kippur. So he is called a person who goes with Pnim. But now we see that Torah scholarship puts a person on a higher level than the Kohen Gadol. Tanya will learn in a Braisa. Rab Shimon ben Yochai Oimer Bidin Hu Sheyaktim Eved Meshuchu LeGer. That really, the Eved Meshuchu, the freed Eved, should have come before the Ger.
Shezeh Gadol Imanu B'Kedusha, because an Eved Meshuchar, from the time that he was born, he could have been in the status of being an Eved, and an Eved, even though it was a non-Jewish slave, but while he's an Eved, he has some Chiyuvim, he's Mechuyiv in the mitzvah, just like a woman. So it was Gadol Imanu B'Kedusha. The Zen Ager, who before he became a Ger, was a complete Goy, and later on he converted, was like Gadol Imanu B'Kedusha. So why do we say, though, that the Ger comes before the Eved Meshuchar? Ela zehoy bechal oru, because while he was an Eved, he was considered oru, he was cursed. There, a ger, even though he was a guy before him, but lo hayu bechal oru. Shalu talmidim is a beloved rab tzaddik. The talmidim is a beloved rab tzaddik. The pnei mahakel rotsim lisa geiris. Why does everybody run to marry a geiris, a woman, a non-Jewish woman who converted, but the ein hakel rotsim lisa meshucheres? But not everybody runs to marry a non-Jewish woman slave who is freed. And Rashi seems to have the gears that not rotsin, but Rashi has the gears that rotsin, that they want. And Rashi explains, not necessarily that everybody is running after a gears, but people would be more willing to marry a gears than marry a mishukheret. What's the reason? So Amal Arhem, Shabbalaz Rab Tzadig answered, Zu Haisa B'chalor, because the mishukheret, while she was a slave, she was in a status of being cursed. The zuah giyayris lahaisa b'chalor, and therefore a person would rather marry a convert than a meshuchreret. Dover acher, another reason why a giyayris comes first in the eyes of people, because zuahisa b'cheskas shomer. She, the giyayris, was b'cheskas shomer. She kept herself away from znus, she protected herself. But the zuah lahaisa b'cheskas shomer. But the shifcha, she does not keep herself away from znus. And Rashi explains, either we can learn, because a slave by her very nature is more promiscuous than a guy, and therefore people would rather marry a geiris, or because the guy, she was thinking about converting, and that's in her power to do so, so therefore, while she was thinking about it, she was protecting herself, because she was intending to become a yid. However, a shifcha, it's not in her power to be freed. That's totally up to the option of the master. So she could not be planning to become a meshuchreret, and therefore she did not protect herself. So that's the reason why the Giyaris comes before the Shifcha. Shalul Talmid of Rabbi Elazar, the Talmid of Rabbi Elazar. Mipnei ma'akele makiris kainai. Why does the dog recognize his master v'chosulein makiris kainai? But a cat does not do so. Now on this Gemara, the Be'er Sheva offers two pshatim. First, the Be'er Sheva learned that when the Gemara says kainai, it's referring to Hashem. It's referring to its creator. And how do we know that a dog recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than a cat? He refers to the pasuk in Parshas Boy, where it says, that at the time of Makas Choshech, the dogs did not bark, and because of that, the Torah gave the dogs a reward, and it says, meat which a person cannot eat, it says they should throw it to the dogs, but we don't find in the Torah that it says throw it to the cat. So therefore, the Gemara assumes that a dog is more Makir Hashem than a cat. A second shot, the Be'er Sheva says, not talking about Kainai referring to his creator, but it's somehow referring to his master. As we find in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, that the Pasuk says, Yoda Shor Kainayo, the Chamor Evus Ba'alov, that an axe recognizes his master, and a donkey recognizes who feeds him. So too, the Be'er Sheva says that the nature of a dog is that it's more attached to its master, constantly going with him, protecting him, which you don't find by a cat. That was their question, why is a dog more recognizing its master than a cat? So he answered them, Ma ho oichel mimasha achbor oichel. A person that would eat food that was eaten by a mouse. He's mishakeach, it takes away his memory. Ho oichel achbor atzmoy. So somebody who eats the mouse itself, alachas kama v'kama, certainly it should take away its memory. So therefore, cats that eat mice, they have a very weak memory, and therefore they're not makiris kind. Shaul talmid v'shab liyazem, mipnei ma'av koil moishlim b'achborim. Why is it that everyone persecutes the mice? Why is it the fate of mice to be constantly chased and pursued? So he told them, "Mipnei surin ra," because they have a bad nature, worse than other animals. Maihi, how does it manifest itself? Rava Omar afilu glimi gaitzi. Rava says that they even gnaw on a garment, they even chew on the garden, causing the owner a loss, and they have no benefit. So we see that it's surin ra. They even chew on the handles of shovels. Again, they have no benefit, but it causes the owners of the shovel a loss, and therefore people constantly chase after the mice. Tanarabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, Five things cause a person to forget his learning. If someone eats from food that was chewed on by a mouse, or food that was eaten by a cat, or he eats the heart of an animal, or he's accustomed to eating olives, he drinks water that's left over from someone's washing, or he washes his feet, placing them one on top of the other. The Be'er Sheva points out that even though if you count them up, there are six, but he says the last two are considered as one. They both have to do with washing. The Yeshayimim, some say, if someone takes his clothing and he puts it tachas marashaysav, he puts it underneath his head, that also causes him to forget. There are five things that restore to a person's memory what he learned. Pas pechamin, that's Rashi's gears in the Gemara, that's bread which is baked on coals. The kosh came pechamim atzma, certainly the coals themselves. The Mesiras Hashas brings a different girsa, that's pas chitin. If someone eats bread which is made from wheat, and then kosh came, if someone eats the wheat itself, so that's good for his memory. V'ha'ichol be'ya mugugelas, or he eats an egg which is roasted b'lei melach, and he eats it without salt. Harogul b'shemen zayis, or he frequently eats olive oil. Harogul b'yayin v'shamim, someone who frequently drinks wine and spices. And someone who drinks water that's left over from the kneading of a dough. The Yeshayimim and some say, if someone dips his finger into salt and eats it. So these are things which are good for a person's memory. So the Gemara now proceeds to analyze some of the items mentioned in the list, and said, Harogul b'shemen zayis, that someone who accustomed to eating olive oil, that's good for the memory. That's a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kishem Shahazayis Meshakeach. Just like the olive, eating an olive itself will cause him to forget. Lean with Shoshim Mishana, even something that he already knows for 70 years. Kach Shemen Zayis, eating the oil of the olive, Meshiv Lean with Shoshim Mishana, can restore something that has already been forgotten from him for 70 years. The Masha says, based on this Gemara, he interprets a Pasuk in Chumash. There's a famous pasuk in Chumash that talks about the praise of Eretz Yisrael and mentions seven items that grow there. Eretz, Chitu, Sa'ira, Gefen, Te'ena, Rimoin, Eretz, Deishemen, Udvash. And the Mashal points out that all of the items mentioned in the pasuk all talk about the food itself. Except when it comes to olive, the Torah doesn't say the olive, but it says Deishemen. It talks about olive oil. The Mashal says, because the olive itself, that is not the praise of Eretz Yisrael. Because the olive causes a person to forget. Rather, the praise of Eretz Yisrael is brought out in the fact that there's olive oil there, because olive oil is meshiv, the limud of Shiv Mishon. We mentioned that Rogul b'yayin b'sonim, someone who frequently drinks wine and spices, Mesaile l'Rava, so this will be a source for what Rava said, Da'amar Rava, Chamra v'reichoni, wine and spices, Pitchkin made me wise. We also mention that someone dips his finger in salt and then eats it. Only if he dips one finger in the salt. Kitanoi, the Gemara says, this is totally in a machoikas tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda says only one finger, but not two. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, two fingers he can dip in the salt and eat it, but not three. And if you would want to remember, if you would get confused about the shitas over here, and you would want to know that one shita is one and not two, and the other was two and not three, but not that it was a different number, that as a way to remember, you can use the kmitza. The kmitza was the middle finger. So if a person would bend down the middle finger, so what would be there? On one side, he would have one finger, and the other side, it would be two fingers, not counting the thumb, which is not on the same line as the other fingers. So by looking at this hand, he could tell that the sheet is either it's one finger, that's one shita, and the other sheet is two fingers. So that would be a way of remembering this machlokes. Continues the Gemara, Asara Dvarim Koshim Lulimut. There are 10 things that make it difficult for a person to learn. Ha'oiver tachas ha'apsar ha'gomel. If someone passes under the bit of the camel, the koshkein tachas gomel atzmai, and certainly if he goes under the camel itself, ha'oiver ben shnei gemalim. Someone who walks in between two camels. Ha'oiver ben shtei noshim, a man who walks in between two women. Ha'isha ha'iveres ben shnei anoshim, or if a woman walks in between two men. Ha'oiver mitachas reach rasha mevela, which Rashi explains to mean that if someone is walking and while he's going he smells the bad smell of a carcass.
Ha'oiver tachat ha'gesher, and if someone walks under a bridge, shalei ovru tachtov mayim memyoin, that there has not been water under that bridge for 40 days. Ha'oichel pas shalei bishul kol tzarkoi, if someone eats bread that has not been completely baked. Ha'oichel basar, if someone eats meat, mizua molisterin, that he eats it directly from the spoon that's used to stir the pot. Ha'shoise me'amas ha'mayim ha'iveres b'beis ha'kvorei, or if someone drinks from a stream of water that goes through a cemetery, or if someone looks at the face of a dead person, the Yeshayim, and some say, if someone reads the writing that's on a monument, all of these items are kosher v'limud. It's interesting to point out that Harab Chaim Kinevsky Shlita wrote a special pamphlet entitled The Sefer Zikaron, where in that pamphlet he first of all collects all the items mentioned throughout Shas that are good for a person's memory, and then, in Chelek Beis of that Sefer, he brings all the items mentioned in Shas that are bad, that are kosher l'shikha. And he writes that a person is nochoin lizoyer l'chatchila, a person should be very careful and take all the items mentioned in the Gemara seriously, because that's why Chazal enumerated them, so a person should know them. And if a person values the knowledge of Torah that he has, he should avoid those items which could cause him to forget his learning. He points out that the Mishnah Brura, in three places, brings la'halacha things that are kosher l'shikra. The first place is in Simen Bey, Sifkot Beis, where the Mishnah Brura brings one of the things mentioned in our Gemara. Mishnah Brura says, "Hameiniach malbushav mirashoisav," if someone puts his clothing under his head, so that causes him to forget his learning. Mishnah Brura speaks out that if someone puts something else that separates his head and his clothing, then it's not a problem. Another halacha that the Mishnah Brura mentions over there is that if someone puts on two clothing at the same time, that's kosher l'shikha. So that's in Simen Beis. In Simen Kuf Nun Ches Sifkat Mem Hei, the Mishnah Brura brings a halacha in the name of the Magen Avraham that a person should not dry his hands on his shirt, because that would cause him to forget. And he brings that the Prima Godim was in Mesupik, is it Dafke his shirt, or is it any of his clothing, drying his hand would cause him to forget. And the third place is in Simen Kuf Ayin, Sivkot Memhei. The Lashon of the Mishnah Brura is, Yizoyer Mo'oid, a person should be very careful, Shloy Lecho Leiv Behema Chayiv Oif, even though Al Gemara only mentioned Leiv Behema, but the Mishnah Brura says not to eat the heart of an animal or a bird, because that would be kosher l'shikha. This kuntres of Rav Chaim Kinevsky is now printed together with various other kuntresim that he wrote in a sefer that's entitled Siach HaSodeh.